Interview done by Angela Pollock with Coach Jim Tressel of the Youngstown State University football team and also athletic director, done in his office in Stambaugh Stadium on Friday, November 14th, 1997. We're ready to start with the first question. If you just give me some background information and some things about your childhood.
Okay. Well, I grew up in a collegiate atmosphere. My father was the head coach at Baldwin Wallace College from 1958 until his death in 1981. And our house happened to be next door to the stadium.
Wow.
In those small schools, most of the faculty live on campus.
Mm-hmm.
And it just so happened that the football coach and athletic director lived next to the stadium. So I grew up watching college kids all the time. On the other side of our house was one of the fraternity houses, so I got both ends of the spectrum there. And
you learned all about college life then.
That's right. Yeah, I knew it, the whole thing. And I had two older brothers who are both in education. My oldest brother is the head coach and athletic director at Hamline University, which is a Division III school in St. Paul, Minnesota. And my next brother, I'm the youngest. My next brother is a middle school teacher and swim coach in Berea, Ohio, which is where Baldwin Wallace is.
Mm-hmm.
And so education has always been first and foremost, and athletics has always been part of the deal. As far as experiences that have affected me, I just think, you know, when you have college kids and role models around you your whole life, you know, you learn a lot.
Right.
A lot of what you might want to do, and maybe some of what you might not want to do, and I think you also learn a lot about the impact of a college, you know, on kids' lives and on a community, and I think those things have helped give me the background to try to do a job in those areas, you know, as I've become mm-hmm. an adult.
So you grew up kind of knowing that you wanted to be a football coach?
You know, I didn't know for sure, but as I got a little older and started having to make some decisions, I started thinking about, you know, what I'd like to do, and I'd seen that my dad loved going to work in the morning and enjoyed the heck out of it, and I thought, well, you know, this looks like something that might be fun, and maybe I've got a head start because I've known something about it, and so I think I decided for sure when I made a collegiate decision that
mm-hmm.
I was kind of wavering between the academies and going to Baldwin Wallace. And when you go to the academies, it's engineering and all that stuff. And
I went to the Naval Academy.
Oh, did you? Well, I almost went there. And so, you know, you kind of decide which way you want to go at that point. And I decided I wanted to go into education, and Baldwin Wallace was a very good mm-hmm. education school. And so I think at that point I made that decision. And I think it was because you asked the question, what made you decide? I think it was my teachers and coaches, you know, when I was growing up, and then also having a chance to watch it firsthand in my own home.
You came here to YSU in 1986, and what most influenced your decision to come here? You were at Ohio State before, right?
Right. I was an assistant coach there, and mm-hmm. Every assistant coach wants to be a head coach.
Oh.
And when the head coaching job became vacant, I called right away, but they didn't. They had a whole list of people that they were interested in, and
mm-hmm.
Oh, maybe 2 or 3 weeks later, that list, I guess, dwindled or whatever, and I did have a chance to interview. And I knew that, you know, that I wanted to be here because I want to live in Northeast Ohio. This is where my family and friends are. And I had always known the tradition of Youngstown State because I had coached at Akron for 4 years.
Right.
And that's a big rival at that time. And so then really, once I got here and saw the facilities and the campus, you know, I only knew Youngstown State from coming into town and playing at Ryan or coming into town and playing at Austintown. I didn't
mm-hmm.
know anything about the campus. And when I came here in my interview and saw the campus, not that I had any doubts, but I guess my enthusiasm was greater at that point.
Right. There are constantly changes going on here at YSU. Which ones have you seen, and do you think they're more positive or negative, or how do you feel about them?
Well, I think public institutions in particular have had to fight some tough battles in the last 10 years or so. Our funding is down.
Mm-hmm.
We've needed to make the transition from what was basically a commuter situation where there was plenty of population, and so you're always going to have enough customers, if you will, students,
right.
To a situation where our population was down. We needed to make the transition into being a little more diverse. We'll always have a solid commuter group because we're an urban situation, but
right.
we needed to go to the next level. And I feel probably better about some of our impact on that than everyone talks about the championships and that. But in the mid-80s, we really were fighting hard to get some dorms built. And administratively, that wasn't an interest. So athletically, we really kind of pushed it pretty hard. And through the help of Mr. Leiden, who Leiden House is named after now, it was at first going to be an athletic dorm because institutionally there wasn't any interest.
Mm-hmm.
Then once they saw that we could raise some funds for an athletic dorm, they thought, well, maybe that'd be good for everyone. And so the Leiden House really was the impetus behind it was athletics, which I don't know that we knew in 1986 and 7 how important that was going to be. Really, if you go way back in history, since we're talking history here, Kilcawley House. Really, the reason behind that was if we were going to have intercollegiate athletic teams at the level we aspired, we were going to have somewhere for out-of-town kids to live, because you're going to have to have some of those. So really, the impetus behind Kilcawley House was athletics when that was built. And then the impetus with really Joe Malmeser, who was our athletic director at that time, and Bill Leiden were the two that really, they're both kind of hard-nosed, don't take no for an answer kind of guys. And they're the ones that got that going. And then you see what happened quickly after that was Wick House and Weller House and those.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Caffaro House. And I think if we look down the road, we're going to need to be a much more residential campus, to seek the excellence that that we all have.
Recruiting is a big part of your job. How do you sell YSU to future athletes?
So I think the first thing you have to do in recruiting is create relationships. And our coaches spend hours and hours on the phone with prospects. After we've evaluated them as to their academic transcripts and their football and video and so forth, you have to create relationships. And you have to convince them to come see the place. Most people, when they come to visit, whether they end up coming here to go to school or not, totally change their perception of what they think Youngstown State is. And so not only is our recruiting important in the people that do choose to come to YSU, but I think the word spreads even to those who don't come here when they're in conversation with others, people back home, whatever. They all say, boy, you ought to see that place. That's really a lot different than I thought it was, and so forth. And so creating relationships is number one. And really the biggest thing that sells future athletes, and I'm sure the university will find the same thing as they get more into the recruiting world. You know, they're finding out now that students don't just sign up. You have to recruit them.
Right.
Is the current students are the key to future students. And so when a player comes on campus to visit our campus, really whether or not he signs here or she, if it's a women's sport, I guess I think a lot of times mostly from the football perspective, but a lot of it has to do with the kids coming when they're with our current athletes. They ask them the point blank questions,
mm-hmm.
Are you treated fairly? Do you like it? What do you like? What don't you like? How's the faculty? How's the help? Is there tutoring? Is there is the library good? All those kind of things. And so the way you sell YSU is through the students.
Recently, the team joined the Gateway Conference. We all know that that was important to YSU, but in what ways will it affect the program and its future?
Well, we felt that being in a conference was important for having a little bit more continuity in our scheduling. We got to the point where we've been independent since 1988. Mm-hmm. We were in the Ohio Valley Conference when I first got here. And then when Akron left, we were the only Ohio team, so they asked us to leave. We really didn't want to leave. And so we were independent for 10 seasons, or I guess 9 seasons, and which we could get some continuity in scheduling before we had had some success. But after we had had some success, no one wanted to play an independent game against a good team.
Mm-hmm.
And so it got to the point where we just couldn't schedule it all. And that was the primary thing. I think the secondary thing is that, you know, whenever you're in a league, there are a lot of other neat things that go along with it for the kids, like having a chance to be all gateway, all academic gateway, newcomer gateway, gateway player of the week, all the neat things that, you know, that really kids enjoy,
right.
You know, trying to accomplish and so forth. And in the larger realm of things, we've always considered the whole nation to be our conference because our number one goal is to be national champions. But the Gateway Conference provides you an avenue to get into the playoffs, which is an automatic bid if you would happen to win the Gateway Conference, which as we go into these last 2 weeks, if we would win the last two games, we would get an automatic berth into the playoffs, which, you know, once you get into the playoffs, you have a chance to reach your number one goal.
Your career has been particularly eventful here at YSU. What has been the highlight of it, and what kind of obstacles have you experienced on the road to success?
Oh, gosh, you know, highlights, the obvious ones most people see, you know,
yeah.
The championships and those kind of things. But some of the little steps along the way that no one sees, you know, and some of the progress that the kids make, and you see them now 10 years later and they're out in the world doing good things for the world, I
mm-hmm.
think those are, you know, not really good reading or all that kind of thing, but I think those are the things that it's all about. And probably, though, if I had to say what would be the highlight that I cherish the most would be, I think our whole community has through the window of athletics seen a lot of positive things, which 10 or 11 or 12 years ago, I guess, when I got here, the one thing that worried me was that the area didn't have a good self-image of itself or of its school.
Right.
And I think that athletics, you know, has given people a chance to look at the university a little closer and get excited about it, and then really find out that you know, there's not just a great athletic program there, but we have great academic offerings, we have great faculty, we have great physical and plant and all those things. And until you get someone to look, they're not going to see that. And I think athletics has opened the window to people to look at the university, and I think that's probably been the highlight of what we've contributed to the cause. As far as obstacles, you know, there's no obstacles that we've experienced that no one else does. You know, sometimes
mm-hmm.
you fumble the football, and sometimes, you know, negative things happen.
You pass when you should have ran.
Yeah, sure. You know, or something happens on campus that, you know, isn't what you wish that it would be. And, you know, you just have to pick up and go. But there's been nothing, you know, nothing of what I would call a great obstacle that we couldn't overcome.
You hold two positions here, the athletic director and football coach. Are there any particular advantages or disadvantages as to having both positions concurrently?
Well, I think the advantage is that I get to work with all the athletes and all the coaches. You know, sometimes you get in your own little world and you don't understand and you're not aware of the needs of others. And being with all the other athletes and seeing their needs and so forth gives me a better perspective
mm-hmm.
as to where does the football program fit in this puzzle. The disadvantages is time. You know, it's just tough to, you know, to get everything done. But, you know, for the moment, you know, we felt that that's what we needed. When Joe Malmoser retired 4 years ago, we had so many projects underway that we didn't think that the transition that normally occurs when you change at the top would be very helpful. Just a lot of times someone new comes in at the top and it takes 2 years for them to understand, you know, the nuances and progress slows.
Mm-hmm.
Even though maybe further down it will speed up, we had things that were right in the midst, you know, like the expanding of the stadium, the conference affiliation, the adding of women's sports, the meeting of our gender equity challenges and so forth. And all of the rest of the athletic administration was going to be here, and they can carry the ball. So we just felt like we needed to keep things going in the direction they were going.
And specifically in YSU athletics, do you see any changes occurring?
Well, I think we'll continue to improve. Our athletics have improved, I think, dramatically over the years.
Especially
in the women's area, mm-hmm. because of the emphasis we put there. I foresee the addition of one more women's sport, perhaps crew, perhaps field hockey. I would say those would be the two biggest chances. I would hope what I see in the future for athletics is that we continue to do our part. You know, everyone's got their part on campus, you know, and hopefully we'll do our part and keep doing it better so that the whole place rises up.
You refer a lot to the football family, and you're very much involved in the welfare of all your players. What is most important to you in your role as head of this family?
Well, I think the first thing and most important thing is that each person within the family has to know that I care. And I don't just care that they hold on to the football, but I care that everything around them is headed in the right direction, and that I'm available there, you know, when they have needs. And if that starts as the foundation of the family, that there is care and concern and genuine interest in their long-term well-being, then anything we want to accomplish can happen.
As far as community service, you involve the players in that. And why do you feel that that is important to them and YSU?
Well, it's in some ways selfish and in some ways unselfish. You know, everyone wants big crowds. And I told the players way back in 86 that there's really two ways that you can get people to want to come and see you play. One is win, and everyone wants to see a winner.
Mm-hmm.
But two is to make sure that they know you're a part of them. And it's a two-way street. We can't just expect them to come see us if we don't have a little give and take. And there are a lot of youngsters, especially out there, who would benefit by the interaction with our student athletes. And really, our whole athletic department now does, in my mind, a grand job with community service. And the neat thing in this community is there's an older population. And the older population really, I think, gets something from the vibrance. Yes. Yes. It's, you know, I see the older community that enjoys when our kids go up to Park Vista or to nursing homes or whatever, to see the vibrance of the youth and so forth. It picks that group up, too. And it's amazing how many fans we have that don't get to the stadium, but they're listening on the radio, they're rooting for us, that they've adopted us as their team and so forth. And our guys feel that. And that's something that's maybe not touchable, but they feel it. And and I just think it's right. You know, mm-hmm. This university is the greatest thing that this area has. And athletics has got a great opportunity to be very visible. People like athletics. And to do it the right way and to give while we're doing it, I think we'll then build good habits for when our kids graduate and they go out and live and wherever they live, that we need people to be part of the community and not just worry about my paycheck and my house and my little world, but, you know, the whole picture. And so I think it teaches good lessons there as well.
Every year you give motivational quotes to the team and you set goals big and small. Could you explain some of the quotes and their impact on the team and motivation? And just as a side note, a lot of the quotes that you use, I actually use them too. I hear you say them. And
mm-hmm.
They're important to the rest of us too, I think.
Well, you know, I think, you know, it's important to step back and think about the big picture and to think about, you know, what are we learning while we're going through these battles in athletics, because we're going to have battles in life later on. And everything we do, we try to tie together with the big picture. That it's not simply football, but it's good training ground, good learning ground.
Mm-hmm.
And there, I've never invented a quote. You know, I've, just like anyone else, someone said it before, you know, and that's why I get interested when people say, well, who said that? I say, well, I don't know who said it most recently, but I'm sure someone has been saying this for centuries, mm-hmm. you know. But what we try to do is really do a good job of assessing where are we and what's going on and what could speak to us. So a lot of times I really enjoy reading. I'm a slow reader, but I enjoy reading because many times as I read, I stop and think about, well, where does that fit? And so whenever we use quotes or we think about things and talk about them with the team, they're in relation to, okay, here's where we are. And you can usually get kids' attention in regards to their immediate things. Like, here's where we are in football, okay? Now, mm-hmm. Think about this thought. You know, this thought is also going to apply to you 10 years from now. And because you're going to be in a similar situation, it won't be a football game, but it'll be something else. And so that's how we do it. And as far as its impact on the team, just like anything else, if you're listening, things impact you. And if you're not listening, they don't. And if you do a good job of internalizing it, some people say quotes just to say quotes,
mm-hmm.
Right. I don't think that that's effective. We try to really teach why. I've heard people say, well, kids these days want to know why. I think kids all days want to know why. Now, we maybe 30 years ago didn't ask why as often, but we did want to know why. Mm-hmm. And, I think when they do know why, then you really have a chance to grow, and that's important.
And the last question, you'll be a tough act to follow when the time comes. Do you have any words of wisdom for a successor?
No, other than this is a great place, and every coach that's ever been here, there's been four of us now, and every coach has had a winning record, and there are good people here. They like athletics, and when you're at a place that likes athletics, that's a good break for you. Probably, if I had to say what's the best thing we did in terms of moving forward from our people we succeeded, was that don't ever forget what the people that succeeded you did. Because for us to pretend that we were the first coaching staff that ever did anything here would be a mistake. Because there's a lot of people that dressed at the YMCA and got in a bus and went 10 miles and practiced in Liberty and didn't have a stadium. And all the things we have, they made it possible. Now we have the best stadium in the country and all those kind of things because someone else did it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important for leadership. And I think that's important that you don't forget those who came before you. And maybe sometimes in our country we do that.
Yeah, I think that's important in life.
Yeah. I asked one of the kids Tuesday, one of the freshmen, I always ask freshmen questions in front of the team, and I asked one of the kids talk to us about Veterans Day. This was Tuesday's practice. He couldn't comprehend that, and
mm-hmm.
it never touched him. And many times on the various holidays, we have them write little essays about it, just so they understand. Labor Day, why are we here practicing today? Everyone else is out having picnics. Is that what you're supposed to have, picnics, or what are we, I don't think you can ever forget those that came before you, and I guess that would be, not that they need to enshrine us, because we're just one of, many coaches and stuff that have been here, but
mm-hmm.
I don't think you can forget, the past. That's a good historical answer,
too. That was a very good answer to end with.